If you would turn with me to, we're going to do look at a few scriptures to start off. Matthew 28. And, first I'd really like to thank God because, I know what Brother Ron had just said about, my dad and my brother, and I know my other brother, Sean, he's at Branford Bible Chapel, so we're representing with the assemblies this week. We're in four different places, but it's an honor, and it just overwhelms me. Whenever God uses you, whenever you're able to do some of His service, or because God doesn't need us, but whenever you can do something for Him, it's just amazing that God will take me, this sinner, and allow me to do something for Him, something good, and just take over. And it's definitely an honor and a privilege. So thank you for letting me be here this morning. But first, we'll start with the scriptures, if we could. Matthew 28, and we're going to go through some familiar scriptures to start. Matthew 28, and we're going to start in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, if you would turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and this is just before the Lord ascended into heaven, and there's some instructions that He gave His disciples. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to just look at verse 8 and 9. As Jesus says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And when He had thus spoken these words, while they were beholding Him, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. Now if you would turn one last time to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how then shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how then shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You don't need to turn to this one, but I will just read it for you. This is Isaiah 6, verse 8. And Isaiah says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." And we ask the Lord to bless the reading of His word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You once again for this time to open up Your Word. Lord, I thank You for this wonderful book, the Bible, that You've given us, where it reveals to us Your heart and reveals to us those things that have happened in the past and how You spoke to Your disciples and how You walk this earth and what You've done and how You've dealt with the human race. But most of all, Lord, that we thank You so much that it tells us about Jesus and who He is. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that reveals these scriptures to us and opens up our heart. So, Lord, I ask now, Lord, that Your message would be brought forth. As You've placed it on my heart, Lord, I pray that it would communicate correctly and that You would talk to every heart in this room, including my own, and that we would do those things which You would have us to do, that we would be the Christians that You would want us to be, that we would follow You as You continue to lead us. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you heard before, the name... I think I have the most trouble coming up with a title for the message, besides what the Lord lays on my heart. So the title, I kind of fumbled together, and I've got like crossed things out on the top of my notes and everything like that, is Developing a Plan to obey his command. Developing a plan to obey his command. Now, to explain a little bit what that is. Now, anything that I share up here with you, especially the last couple of times, has just basically, is what I'm sharing with you, is what God's dealing with in my life. This is what he has been teaching me. So I am not coming to you as someone that has accomplished these things. I'm coming to you as, I'm the guy with the beam in his eye, okay? So, you know, as I turn and look at you, you might get hit by the beam. I'm the guy that has this beam, and I'm not looking at the speck in your eye. I'm saying, this is what God is telling me. I need to take this beam out of my eye, okay? This is the things that God is dealing with in my life. These are life changes that I am trying to make, and I'm sharing with them, too. You can hold me accountable to these things, and I know the Sunday school is holding me accountable because some of the things that we're going to share today is some of the things that the Sunday school is going through as well. But they're doing a great job with that. But last time I was up here, and last time I shared with you, the title message was, we talked about good intentions versus living intentionally. Good intentions versus living intentionally. And we looked at a little bit of the life of Noah. And Noah had a mission. God tells Noah, build a boat. I want you to build this big ark, this big box, and because the world is going to be destroyed. It's coming. It's going to come in a few hundred years, but it's coming. And Noah could have responded several different ways. He could have just very nonchalantly figured, oh, well, God will give me time to go ahead and do this. Or, you know, when things come across, you know, when I have my free time, maybe on a Saturday afternoon or every other Saturday afternoon because I want to go bike riding this Saturday. You know, it's like he didn't take it that way. He lived intentionally. He made a plan. He's just like, all right, we got to get this done. Of course, I've got to get the lumber first. I've got to. Now, he didn't know about building an ark. He didn't know about building a boat. It's something that he had to learn, something that he had to go ahead and grab hold of and ask God for his help and make a whole plan because, you know, this is something that was unheard of. But he did it. He lived intentionally. He intentionally lived his life. He made a plan. He planned this out, and he went ahead and did it with God's help. And we talked about this. God has given us a command, and this is what we read, the Great Commission. Before Jesus went to heaven, you think of the last things that he could share with you, he shared with us this command, and it's not a request, it was a command, and he says, listen, I want you to spread the word. I want you to go ahead and teach them to observe all things. Teach them to go ahead and observe the Bible, but at the same time, I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them. And this is our commission. And then he gives us in Acts chapter 1 a way to go out and do this. Start at home and then branch out into the uttermost parts of the earth. So the challenge was, how do I live intentionally? How do I go ahead and plan out my life, making my life changes to go ahead and fulfill, to obey this command that he's given me? Because I don't know about you, but this is the way I had thought for several years. And that's if I go ahead and do my best, I read my Bible, I pray, I come to church, I go to Bible studies, and I do my best to go ahead and live a sinless life. If I go ahead and I fall, which I know I'm gonna, I just get back up and I try my best with his help to go ahead and not sin, be a good example to all those around me, I'm thinking that that is fulfilling God's mission for my life. Well, yeah, it is, but it's only part of it. It's not fulfilling it to the max. He wants me not only to be a good example, to go ahead and work out holiness, work out my salvation with fear and trembling, work out that holiness in my own life. He doesn't only want me to fellowship with believers, read and pray, have a relationship with him. He wants me to spread the word. He has given me that responsibility as a Christian to be an ambassador for him. If I'm not doing that, then I am not completely working on fulfilling everything that God wants me to do, everything that God wants me to be. So if that's the case, I have to come up with a plan in my daily life, every single day. How do I change from this Sunday to next Sunday? How am I going to change what I do on a daily routine to go ahead and make sure that God's plan is that I'm a part of God's plan, that I am doing and fulfilling that whole purpose that he has for me? And that's what I want to encourage you with today. And as I mentioned last time too, this is most important for leaders, leadership. If you're elder, when you're talking about the church and assembly, this is important for you. You set the tone. You set the tone for the assembly. When it comes to your family, men, you are the leaders of your family. You set the tone. You set the tone for your family. how you want your family run, you set the tone. This is what the scripture says. This is the way God has set it up. It's just the way it is. It's nothing that we can go ahead and change. We can try to change as much as we want, but it's the way God has set it up. Men, you set the tone. And then if you're an individual, you have to do this in your own life, especially if you're a leader. You have to do it in your own life, because how can you expect to be any type of example, any type of leader, if you're not doing it in your own life? It doesn't work to go ahead and do everything that I say, but don't watch what I do, because that doesn't work. Our words and our actions must match. So we need to come up, and this is, like I said, this is what God has been working with me with. I needed to come up with, and we need to come up with, a practical plan, an everyday plan in my individual life, in my family, and in my church to go ahead and accomplish not my mission, but His mission. I need to come up with something. How do I change my everyday practice? Because honestly, if I'm honest with myself, a lot of what I do on a daily basis, 24/7, has to do with my mission, with the things that I need to do, or it might be the needs of the family. And all this stuff is good, but I have to remember my first priority, and that is to fulfill God's mission. This is my purpose here on earth. What I'd like to look at is a few different ways, examples that Scripture has given us of how the gospel message is spread. He's given us a few examples. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 27, and we're going to look at the call of Matthew, one of his disciples. You could also read this in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. But starting in verse 27 of Luke chapter 5, it says, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican," this is Jesus, "named Levi," this is also Matthew, "sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi," also named Matthew, "made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him." And then it goes into some of the conversation that happened at his home. But this is what Matthew did. Matthew meets Jesus. Jesus comes to Matthew and says, "Follow me." And Matthew goes, "Okay, I'm going to follow him." And what does Matthew do? The first thing he does, he makes this great feast for Jesus. But then he brings everybody he knows to go ahead so that they can meet Jesus too. This is actually a really cool concept, and my hope with Billy Graham, the elders had announced it last week. We're going to have our first meeting on it in May 18th, but this is where this kind of idea comes from, is Matthew's example of inviting people into your home and having a meal with them so that they can meet Jesus. So that's one way, one example that we have. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, this is at the day of Pentecost. If you don't know what that is, it's when the Holy Spirit, after Jesus had gone up to heaven, this is when the Holy Spirit came down, and the disciples were all gathered into one place, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for the Comforter to come. And then they started speaking in tongues, and speaking in different languages, and people heard these men speaking in different languages, and everybody heard it in their own language. Like if somebody was from Africa, or somebody was from Asia, or somebody from all these parts of the world, and they all came because Jerusalem was a centralized location, and it actually goes into different people that were there from different parts of the country, and they all heard it in their original language. One person was just talking, but they all heard it in their own language from where they were born, and they're just like, what is going on? It was a gift. It was a sign gift, one of the gifts of the Spirit that had come forth. And as this was happening, some of the people were saying, oh, they're probably drunk. They probably just, you know, had a little too much of the wine. They're hanging out by the wine press too much, and they're just like a little tipsy. But Peter says no. Look at verse 14. Now, this is the same Peter that we were talking about in John chapter 21 this morning. The same Peter that denied Christ when he is asked, weren't you with him? The same Peter that was asked by Jesus, do you love me? Now Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing that it is the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes in and he basically tells them about Jesus. He gets up on his soapbox and he, with a loud voice, he's the guy that's out there. He puts his neck out and he says, This is Jesus. You all need Jesus. And it says towards the end of that you know, there was like, what, 3,000 souls saved? And Peter stood up. And so there's a different way to go ahead and tell others about Jesus. First, you had Matthew with the dinner, inviting everybody in, a nice little private gathering. But here you have a public announcement, a public preaching, soapbox preacher. Let's tell others about Jesus. Now, if you turn me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to talk about somebody named Philip. Now, Philip was a deacon, and Philip had he was a very good example. He was a man of good report, definitely filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, starting there, and it says, And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and it said, Arise and go towards the south in the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. Then Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you read? And he said, How can I except a man guide me? And he desired that Philip would come up with him and sit with him. And the place of the scripture where he read was, He that was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like the lamb that's dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. And we'll just stop there. And basically, Philip witnesses. Philip has a leading by the Holy Spirit. I want you to go to the desert. He goes to the desert. He sees this chariot. I want you to get yourself close to that chariot. I want you to talk to that person. So Philip runs. And then he opens with a question. He's like, he hears Isaiah. He knows Isaiah. Obviously, Philip read it himself. He was familiar with the scriptures. And he says, Do you know what you're reading? And so then Philip goes ahead and he breaks it down and he introduced to him Jesus through the Old Testament scriptures. And we know that the eunuch comes to know the Lord and he's baptized afterward. So here we have, first we had Matthew with a dinner. A private meeting, you know, gathering with a bunch of people. We have Peter, who stands up and he's giving this proclamation, a soapbox preaching, and now you have an intimate gathering, a one-on-one evangelism instance where he opens a question. He says, Here, do you know what you're reading? Can I explain that to you? Well, come on, let's talk. And then they go ahead and have the conversation. One other one, if you turn, actually a couple other ones, we're going to keep going with this. This is good stuff. All right, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and for the sake of time, I won't read you the whole situation, but this is Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are in jail. They're in jail for preaching about Jesus. And then God decides to go ahead and free them. It says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately the doors were open, and everyone's band were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled, because obviously it was his responsibility. And Paul cried with a loud voice, Do not do yourself harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So here we have an instance. And the jailer, it was because of a miracle happened, a circumstance. God allowed something to happen. And because something happened, Paul and Silas looked at it as not an opportunity to go ahead and benefit themselves by escaping, but using that experience, that circumstance that God allowed in their life, to go ahead and witness and to tell someone else about Jesus. Acts chapter 24. This will be the last one that we look at for right now. Acts chapter 24, Paul has been taken, and he's now before government official after government official after government official, and he's there because he has been preaching about Jesus once again. And because of his witness, and because I just want to look at one verse, Acts 24 and verse 24, because I find it very interesting as he's up and he's up in front of people because of preaching for Jesus. You see, read verse 24. And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Here Felix actually calls for Paul and says, give it to me straight. Tell me about Jesus. I want to hear this whole thing. And his wife happens to be with him. The two of them sat down and they heard the gospel message. Sometimes you're called, and this could have been a private meeting or a semi-private meeting, but there's so many different ways to spread the gospel. There's so many different ways and examples that Scripture has given us where we can go ahead and obey his plan, fulfill this command. And there's the public, there's the private. There's sometimes where somebody's asking you. Sometimes you're opening up the conversation. Sometimes you're getting up on a soapbox and go ahead and preaching. Now, are all of us going to be the soapbox preachers? Probably not. But there are, but who knows? God can do anything with anybody at any time. That's the way he works. But at the same time, we're probably all not going to have the soapbox. We're probably not going to be all there. But it is all of our responsibility to go ahead and be part of this spreading the word. If we just take two instances, if we look at, I want to look at Acts chapter 2 and just discuss that one a little bit. Now, this is Paul's public preaching, and I'm not going to go verse by verse or anything like this. You can read it on your own time, but some of the things that Paul mentions in Acts chapter 2, as there was a gift that happened, the gift of tongues was being used. And because a gift was being used, people took notice. And this happened to be a sign gift. And when they took notice, Peter stands up in a very public way, and he goes ahead and he says, he quotes Scripture. He talks about the prophet Joel. He knew his Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament, and he knew how it tied in with Jesus. And then he talks to them about current events. In verse 22, it says, "You men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by you, of you, by miracles and wonders and signs." And he also talks about the moon turning into blood and the sun darkening. And they had just seen all this when they had crucified Jesus on the cross. He talks about some current events. So he talks about the Old Testament and how it ties into Jesus. He knew his Scriptures. He talked about current events and what was happening, and he related that to what was going on in their everyday life. And then he also talks about David, and this is the Jews' history. David was a king, and everybody knew David, and he brings David in to this as well. And he's saying David's not talking about himself when he's quoting this psalm. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So Peter, before he stands up and he preaches, he's done some homework. It wasn't that he just had the ABC gospel, and that's Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. You're a sinner. You need him. That's it. Not to say that God can't use that, because God can do anything. But God has also given us minds. He's given us abilities. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us brains to go ahead and prepare. He knows that when we come up to any kind of meal or anything like that, we have to prepare it. He's taught us to prepare. Here, Peter did preparation. He had spent time with Jesus. He knew his Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He knew what was going on. And he knew the history of the people that he was speaking to. If you look at Acts chapter 8, the instance with Philip. Excuse me. Now, Philip, too, didn't have just the ABC gospel. He didn't just go up to the chariot and just tell him, listen, you need Jesus Christ. You need him to be saved, and then you can go to heaven. And then that was it. Now, he had to go a little bit more. He did his homework as well. He hears Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah being read. Philip immediately recognizes it because Philip has spent the time in the Scriptures. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? No, I don't understand. How can I unless somebody explains it to me? He explains it to him, and he starts from Isaiah. He knew the Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He had spent time with God. He also initiated the conversation. It wasn't something that he waited for someone to ask, well, how can I be saved? No, the Spirit led him. go, and I want you to talk to this individual. He opened up the conversation. And if there were gifts used or not, but two completely different instances, but both of them had the same result, and that was people came to know the Lord. The message was spread. Now, looking at these examples, it lets me know that I need to do some preparation if I'm going to go ahead and fulfill his command and spread the word. I need to do some work myself. Honestly, what I am prepared for right now at this moment, I don't know if I could give you anything more than the ABC gospel message. I might be able to do ABCD. I don't know if I could go ahead and give you a short testimony and say, how did you come to know the Lord? If somebody asked me, I don't know if I could give you a three-minute story and just, you know, because I know everybody has like a very short attention span. It's just the way it is. And it's just like you ever talk to somebody and they start, you know, wandering. I'm sure all of you have wandered, you know, like through the message. It just happens. I do it too. And how long do you have that individual's attention where you can go ahead and give them the gospel or just let them know how God worked in your life? Do you have that prepared? Do you have that little three-minute blurb prepared where you can go ahead and share somebody? I don't have it prepared. I haven't practiced it. I'm not ready. I need to get ready. And this is what Philip had. Would Philip or Peter, and then they were ready and they were asked or they were called upon by God to go and do it. They knew what they were doing. They had spent time preparing. So that's what I want to give you some suggestions today. How do we prepare to spread this message? What are some intentional things that I can do in my daily life from Sunday to Sunday that I can go ahead and change in my daily routine so that I am ready to preach the message? That I am ready when God tells me, I want you to go talk to that individual. Or I'm ready when someone comes up to me and says, do you know God? Because people need this more than ever. People need this more than ever. I mean, and I know in my mind, I look at this as an excuse too. I think, well, if somebody wants God, they know where we are. They know Bristol Bible Chapel. They know Academy Street. There's a church in every corner around here. If they want God, they can just go into a church and find it. But how many people are just completely confused? How many churches are confused on the whole story of Jesus? What true forgiveness is? What it really means? You don't have to confess your sins to another individual. We just cry out to God. We don't have to bring things besides our junk and ourselves to Jesus for him to accept us. We don't have to bring him good works to get to heaven. We don't earn heaven. And so many people are so confused. They might know the name of Jesus. They might know God. They might know where their nearest church is. But do they really know the message? Or has Satan and the world and every least little thing and commercials and television and everything out there just twisted it to where they don't know the truth? It's our job to proclaim that truth. What is our mission field? What is your mission field as an individual? Each one of you has a mission field. Every single one of you has a mission field. And your mission field isn't going to be the same mission field as somebody across the room or the person sitting next to you. You might have some people in common, especially if you're in a family or if you have a common friend or a common coworker that you know that needs to know the Lord. But every one of you, every person that you run into is your mission field. People especially that you work with, you go to school with, you see on a daily basis, they're in a homeschool group, they're your family members, your extended family, that is your mission field. I know that when I said, because I prayed about this before and I asked God to do this, but I know that when I said, what is your mission field, I know people had names come to mind. I mean, because I have names come to mind. What is your specific mission field? God has given you names on your mind and on your heart that you know that you need to get the message, not just be a good example to. Not just, I mean, that's an important key, and it's an important part of the whole message, because what you're saying is, I believe what I say, but it's also making that message clear. It's also making sure that they know the message 100%. Not that they just know how to the name of God or the name of Jesus, or they know how to spell him, but they know exactly who they are and in what they need to do and have their own relationship with him. We all have a mission field. And you as a family, your family has a mission field. You have extended family. You have your neighbors. Your family, as a group, also has their own mission field. Bristol Bible Chapel, the local expression of the body of Christ, we also have a mission field. Whether it be our neighbors in this building, whether it be the Bristol Boys and Girls Club and the people that work there, whether it be all of Bristol or the neighboring towns, we also have a mission field. God wants us to think locally and globally when it comes to spreading his word. In Acts 1:8, one of the reasons we read it, it says that you would be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, that's the surrounding, the neighboring country, and in the uttermost parts of the earth. He wants us to think locally, but he also wants us to think globally. It doesn't say there, I want you to be witnesses to me, to your neighbors and the people you work with, and stop there. It doesn't say, I want you to be witnesses to me just to your family. I want you to be witnesses to me in your town. No, it expands. It's broad. What do we do as, how are we as each individual family? Like, this is something I know I need to change in my family. I've started it with my wife, but I haven't started it with my girls. And my son, of course, because he doesn't talk. But I haven't started it with my girls yet, and I'm going to initiate this. We have a mission field as a family. I have neighbors that they know that talk about God, or they know of God, but they know that my neighbors do not know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They know that they don't go to church. I need to start praying with my entire family for my neighbors. Because I know that, you know, if my children see that it's a priority to me, if I continue to go ahead and lead my family in prayer, it's going to be on the forefront of their mind. It's going to be a forefront of my mind. And I know that the interaction that my kids will even have with their kids, my neighbor's kids, or with my neighbors as they see them, they're going to talk about God because they don't have any fear. My older daughter witnessed to my younger daughter, and that's how my younger daughter came to know the Lord. They love talking about God. And to them, the world is, everybody should know about God. You're weird if you don't know about God, because that's their world. And isn't that the way we should be? Because we are coming from the truth. It's they who are blinded. But I need to do this in my family, lead my family and in prayer on a regular basis. Let's pray for our neighbors. They need Jesus. Because if you think about it, in your neighborhood, how many people, and you hear it all the time, every single person in your neighborhood is going through some kind of struggle right now. Every single person in your neighborhood is facing some family member with some kind of terminal illness or just lost a loved one. Every single person that you walk by in the store, that you drive by on the highway, all of them have struggles that they are going through, and God has allowed it in their life because God wants them to know, you need me. You can't do this on your own. And we are the ones as ambassadors for Christ to let them know where that hope is, where they can get the help. And it's not just, okay, salvation is not just, okay, once you die, you go to heaven. No, salvation starts from the moment that you have that relationship with him. You can be saved from the things that are in your daily life. He gives you a peace that passes all understanding. He works things out. It's all you do is say, Lord, this is my junk. I'm a mess. Here I am. And how many of us just laid it on the table for him and God sorts everything out? God chose you specifically to go ahead and reach these people as an individual, as a family, and even as a church. That's our mission field. So what changes do we make? How do we go ahead and get ready to spread that message to our specific mission field? Well, the first thing let me suggest to you is pray. Because, you know, if I were Noah getting ready to build the boat, I don't know nothing about this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to begin. What does the boat look like? I mean, it's just, where do you start? I don't know where to start either. How do I talk to somebody about Jesus? I can barely talk to somebody about the weather. I'm shy, okay? I don't like to start conversations. I don't know how to do this.
So I pray. I pray for the people that are on my heart. I pray for the mission field that God has given me. I pray for opportunities. Lord, can you help me? Help me be bolder for you. Can you help me start a conversation? Can you help me know what I'm supposed to say? Can you help me with my 3-minute testimony? Can you help me find the scriptures that I'm supposed to go to? Can you help me find somebody that will coach me to go ahead and find the resources that I need so I can do this for you? The first thing we do is start with prayer, because it's God's project too. If you think about it, if you are willing to go ahead and do this for God, if you're willing to go ahead and obey and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's all yours. I'm ready to do whatever you need me to do. He'll go ahead and he'll answer that prayer. He will show you the path that you need to go. He will create opportunities for you. The next thing, let me suggest, is so first is pray. The next thing is study your mission field. Study your mission field. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I've always read these verses, but this morning actually in worship, it kind of came together for me a little bit. But this is what Paul says that he does for the sake of the gospel. Starting in verse 19. For though I be free of all men, and I have made myself a servant unto all that I might gain more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Unto them that are under the law I became as one under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To those without the law, I became as without the law. Of course, not without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain those that are without the law. To the weak, I became as the weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Here Paul saying, I go ahead and Paul changes his lifestyle so that he could better reach the gospel. Study the mission field. To the Jews, he's not going to come to one as a Gentile, but he's going to come to them as the Jews. How do the Jews speak? What's their culture? What's their idols? What's their history? How did they get to where they're at? What are the ways that they communicate? What are their language? If I go into China and I don't know their language, how do I expect to go ahead and I can't communicate with them because they communicate a different way? How do I expect to spread the gospel? And this is what Paul does. And isn't this what Jesus did with us? In Philippians, it says that he made himself of no reputation. He made himself in the form of a man. He changed his whole self. He changed his appearance. He became a man so that he can go ahead for the sake of the gospel and reach us. And this is what he gave up, his comforts of heaven, and came down to earth so that he could save us. And this is what Paul is saying that he's doing. I'm changing the comforts, and I'm not a servant to anybody. I don't need to do this, but I've made myself a servant to do this so that I can reach people for the gospel. I've changed my lifestyle so that I can go ahead and given up some of those comforts that I normally have so that I can reach people for the gospel. So study your mission field. Figure out what their downfalls are, what their idols are, what are they spending so much time with, what are their needs? If you think about the miracles that Jesus did when he was on here on earth, he met people's needs. He didn't go around and give people miracles like a new Corvette or a bigger house. He met the people's needs. And though we might not be able to walk around and do miracles, but if we're going ahead and our eyes are open and we're asking God, open up my eyes so I can see the needs of the mission field that you've given me, and maybe I can meet a need. And when they see that love, then I can go ahead and share the message with them too. But then they're going to know that I love them. How they communicate. Now, the way the world communicates is so different today. It's not like it was. Today, everybody walks on the streets and they've got their face on their iPhone, you know, as they're walking. It's hard to have a communication face to face. So what do we need to do to communicate? Do we need to get involved in that? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. But it depends on where your mission field is. If you needed to go to the biker gang, Hell's Angels, and God said, that's your mission field, that's where I want you to go, I'm not dressing like this. I'm not going to try to go ahead and approach them like this, but I'm going to dress a little bit differently. I'm going to look a little differently. I'm going to talk a little bit differently. I'm going to do things a little bit differently to go ahead if that's my mission field and if that's where God has called me to go. Think about where God has called us, where God has called you as an individual, where God has called your family, where God has called Bristol Bible Chapel. Who has he called us to go ahead and have a mission field? And then with that mission field, do we study them? Do we know how to communicate with them? How can we best persuade? How can we best convince them just to hear the message and then let the Holy Spirit do his work? The next thing I can suggest is know your presentation. What I mean by that, know your presentation, is Paul, Philip, all the other ones that we looked at, they knew their scriptures. They knew Isaiah. They knew Joel. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go ahead and know all the prophets and so forth, but we need to know the scriptures. The scriptures is the power of God. This is where the Holy Spirit really works. And for us to know scripture verses like John 3:16, like Romans 3:23, for all have come sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These verses are very important. And there's other verses, John 1:9, I'm not ready for this. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you can't memorize, have them in your pocket. Have them ready to go. Get something ready. Have a 3-minute testimony down. Then practice. Practice it with other believers. Does this sound good to you? Am I going to keep your interest? Am I going to bore you to death? Because people need to know. This is actually something, this is my next point. And my next point is actually just practice. We need to practice it. This is something the Sunday school is doing. Is that we are practicing. We're doing something like I had everybody write down on a piece of paper, what is something that somebody talked to you about this week? And so there was a whole bunch of different subjects. We gathered all the subjects together and we took the first card and I said, okay, this is the subject. Somebody was talking about their pet. How can we bring God into that conversation? That's a rough one. I mean, I don't know. And we stumbled through it, and it was hard. And then we had all these different subjects, and how can we bring God into a conversation? Or I just happened to get together in groups and talk to the other person about how God worked in your life this week, or how God did something specific. And we find that sometimes it's easy, but sometimes it's difficult. How can we be comfortable talking to an unbeliever about God if we're not even ready to talk to another believer that we know and loves God too? If we're not comfortable talking to other believers, how can we talk to unbelievers? And we got to practice. And so that's what we're doing. We're practicing. And I can honestly say, I know for some of the kids that have come to me, I say kids, but young adults in that class, as well as myself, God is actually bringing up more and more opportunities that I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. Ever since I've been studying this, ever since I've been working on it with the Sunday school, God is bringing opportunities, and I've gotten more opportunities at work to witness and even with my neighbors than I've never had before. Maybe I've just never seen them, but now it's on the forefront of my mind. Now I'm praying for my neighbors. I'm praying for opportunities because I want to reach out to them because I love them, and God is putting a love in my heart for them. And now I'm praying for my coworkers. And you know that coworker that is always gives everybody a hard time, and they always want to be first, and they're pushing their way out in front, and they're always going up, nudging up to the boss when the boss is there. And I'm just like, the people I don't want to deal with. Now I'm realizing that they might be a result of they had a single family home growing up. They're just looking for love. They're looking to be noticed because all their life they struggled to be noticed, and they had some other struggles in their life that I wasn't even aware of. And I'm like, well, of course I would act that way too if I had that kind of life. And instead of looking at them as an annoyance, God has changed my vision, and I'm looking at it as an individual that God loves and somebody that I need to go ahead and make sure that message is clear and that they can find hope in Jesus. So practice is very important, and it changes our view, and it allows God to go ahead and put it on the forefront of our mind so that we can have those opportunities. The other thing I would suggest is that whenever you're either getting ready for this or that you're coming and you're witnessing to someone, that you always come from love.
Never come from pride. Never come from, I know better. I know the right way. You don't know the right way, so you really got to listen to me. I've got it together. Because I tell you, people can see that a mile away. There's an individual that I work with, and this, he is a believer. And I would share this with the Sunday school class. And this believer, basically, he didn't get along with anyone. He didn't get along with anybody at work. And nobody liked working with this individual. And I had a conversation with this individual. He believes just as we do. He's a Christian and so forth. And I said, you know, I said, I have to ask you on a personal note, why is it that nobody likes working with you? I mean, here you are, you witness nonstop. I mean, he's got tracks and everything like that. He's handed people tracks, and he's just like, I said, how can you tell people about going to heaven, come on with me to heaven, when they don't even want to spend an hour with you working? What's the deal? How can you do that? Well, you don't have to like people to go ahead and care about their souls. I said, yeah, you're right. You have to love them. You have to love them. You have to allow God's love to channel through you. And to this man's credit, he took that word and he has changed. And I saw a difference in the way he works with individuals. And I hope that this continues, because it's not him that came to me and told me that he made a change. It was the other workers that came to me and said, I don't know what it is, but you must have said something or something, but he's different. I mean, he was actually a joy to work with today. So you have to be able to show God's love. And you can't come from, I know better, you know, you don't know this. Or you can't just go ahead and blatantly give the message and not have any love behind it, just because you think that, oh, if I just go ahead and tell them about Jesus, then I'm going ahead and obeying his command. No, it's, they got to know what's behind it. And they got to know that God's love is behind it. The next thing I would suggest is being bold. I had an opportunity of another coworker that I've worked with for 8 years now. And this coworker, we happened to be out by his van, and he took a New Testament out, and he put it in a box. And I said, is that yours? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, do you read it? And, yep. Do you know Jesus? Yep. And I just left it alone. And then a little later, so how do you get to heaven? Well, and then he gave me the gospel message, you know, real nice and short, but I felt like I was taking a pry bar and trying to pry the gospel message out of this guy. I didn't know he was a Christian. And how many of us are that same individual that nobody knows what we believe? I mean, we might be a good person or a good example, and maybe they know that we go to church or whatever, or we might lean towards the religious side of things. But how many people know that you're a Christian in your workplace or in your school or in your community group or whatever group that you're a part of? How many people know what you believe? We need to be bold. Now, bold isn't necessarily an obnoxious bold. And what I mean by that, you know, an obnoxious bold is, if you ever get a piece of paper and you have an obnoxious bold with, you get a piece of paper with writing on it or a book, and somebody writes, you know, say that somebody writes the name of Jesus like all over the page, that's obnoxious bold. I'm not talking about obnoxious bold, even though sometimes that's good. I'm talking about bold being clear. You think about a bold marker, it's not a fine print marker where it just blends in with everything else. When you see something bold on a page, bold lettering, your eyes go immediately to it. If I were to hand you out a page with something that had a bold lettering in it, and like say in a line or two, you're immediately going to go to those lines and read those lines first. That's what we want the message of Jesus to be. We want it to be crystal clear. We want it to be, when somebody is looking and they're in distress and that they're looking for something, that they go to Jesus first out of everything else that they can go to, whether it be drugs or addictions or other churches or drowning yourself in other habits. We want Jesus' message to be nice and bold and clear. That's what it means to be bold. How can we go ahead and practice being bold for Jesus? I thought it was funny that this was brought up today, because I've been looking at these scriptures, and particularly with John 21. John 21, when Jesus goes to Peter, and as we know, Peter denied Jesus three times. And in those scriptures in John 21, where Jesus now asks Peter, do you love me? Well, if you love me, feed my sheep. And then, do you love me? Well, feed my sheep. And I was thinking about that. And after that instance in Peter's life, Peter does a complete 180, doesn't he? I mean, now he's standing up and doing the soapbox preaching thing. I mean, he's bold for the Lord. He was crucified upside down for Jesus. And Jesus even encourages him in that same portion of John 21. And what was the difference? What made the change in Peter's life? And thinking about that, and it had to do with, and another brother got up this morning and he shared the same thing and with Jesus. And it's, when he says, do you love me? Are you loving me the way you want to love me? Or are you loving me the way I want you to love me? And when we're living the Christian life and we're obeying his commands, are we doing what we want to do? Are we just living the life that's comfortable for us and trying to be the good example? Are we loving him the way he wants us to love him? By stepping out, by being bold, by going ahead and sticking our necks out? Because we went through in the Sunday school, we went through all the different reasons that we might not share the gospel. Why wouldn't you share the gospel? Why wouldn't you share Jesus with somebody? Well, I'm afraid that I might not be a good enough example. I don't live a perfect life. I'm afraid that I might mess up in my words when I'm going and presenting to them. I'm afraid that they might not like me afterward. I'm afraid that they actually might get angry because they have something against God and they take it out on me. And if we went through a couple more, and it was, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. And I'm afraid of man. Why am I not bold? I'm afraid of man. I'm afraid that I might not be accepted. I'm afraid that I might mess up my words. I'm afraid. And what's the opposite of being afraid? It's the boldness. How do you get boldness? Look at Acts chapter 4. This is just one way. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants their praying. Grant thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. If you read Ephesians 6, I think it's verse 18 through the end of the chapter, Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the Ephesians. And these kind of prisons, when you think of prisons, they're not the prisons that we have today, that they have three meals a day and all this other stuff, and they, you know, nice clean floors, and you have a place to go to the bathroom. No, these were dirty, barely breathable air, non-windows, I mean, horrid, horrid conditions. And here Paul is, he's in there for preaching the word, and he tells people, pray for me that I would have boldness in preaching the gospel. I know that means I might have to stay here, but pray for me that I would still have boldness and continue to preach the gospel. Where we get our boldness from is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come naturally. It comes naturally to some of us, but it doesn't come naturally to all of us. But when it comes to being bold for God, pray for it. Pray and ask God to help you. What are some things that we can do this week, from this Sunday to this Sunday? What are some changes that we need to do? Men, what are some changes that you need to make in your family? What are some changes we could do as an assembly to go ahead and reach the mission field that God has called us to reach? Let's pray for that. Let's study our mission field. Let's know and practice what we have to say. Let's learn how to say it out of love and boldness for Christ. May we bow our heads. As you're bowing your heads, I would just ask you to think for a moment. I know that we've all been in a place kind of like Peter, where we've denied Christ. And not denied Christ in the way where we'll go ahead and turn around and say to somebody, I don't know him. But there's been a time where we haven't been bold. There's a time when I haven't been bold for him. There's a time where I know that I should have gone to that individual and said something about God, and I didn't. And so in a way, I denied him. There's a time where I know that I should have reached out to my neighbor or invited somebody to church, but I didn't. So in a way, I denied him. I don't want that to happen anymore. And what if Jesus came to you the same way he came to Peter, and he says to you, looking you straight in the eye, do you love me? Will we respond? What will we respond? Will we respond that, Lord, I love you the way I want to love you? Or, Lord, help me love you the way you want me to love you. Help me to be bold for you. Help me to go ahead and fulfill the command and obey your command. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the commission that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you don't even need us to go ahead and spread your word. But you have allowed us this tremendous privilege to use us as sinners to go ahead and spread your word, to go ahead and tell other people, other beggars, where to find bread. Lord, help us to do this. Help us to change our daily walk, our daily lives, to go ahead and better be obedient to what you want us to do. That we don't do things halfway, but we would do things wholly, the way you would have us to do. Lord, help each one of us here, each one that you've laid that conviction on our heart, help us to reach out to the mission field that you have before us. Help us to spread that word. Lord, we once again, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for talking to us this morning. We say this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.